Oh, here goes, and welcome to the 115th episode of Throwback Hoops. Woody V is on the mic, and as always, please follow the show on YouTube and wherever you listen to your podcasts. And as always, I'm joined by my main man, Robbie Clayton. What's going on, brother?
What's up, Woods? Good to be back. Feels like a big day, right? The NBA playoffs are here, NBL free agency started. So, yeah, a lot to talk about today.
A lot to talk about, man. And what do you think about all those games being played in conjunction today, like all at 3 a.m. in the morning?
Yeah, it wasn't great for us with the 3 a.m. times, wasn't it? I sort of got up in the night and had a bit of a check and saw some of the halftime scores and that. But it was interesting, wasn't it? A lot of teams resting players and kind of jockeying for positions there. But no, it was an interesting final day with a lot of seedings to be decided, wasn't it?
Yeah, so we'll get into that right away, Robbie. But just before we do that, why don't we kick things off with our jerseys, man? What do you got for us today? Looks like we all got Atlanta jerseys today, right?
It's another Atlanta day, which I'm not sure we should be doing after their game against Indiana today. But yeah, look, I'm still going through these jerseys I got on our trip, so just showing another two today. I think that'll be maybe one or two more I need to show. But look, Hanga Mahomi is the one that I think you wore in our episode in Atlanta. It's the 2023 Hawk City Edition, the peach tree jersey. So I actually really like that one. I really like the colours on that one. You know, I've already got an AJ Griffin, a pretty random one, plus a Trey one there. But these are obviously a bit more official with the sponsors there and everything like that. I think some people kind of realize that with the different jerseys. So if we're buying stuff on NBA Store, you know, any of those ones like that, you're getting a very similar jersey. You're not getting that team sponsor there. And that probably brings me to the one I'm wearing today, Wood. So this could be one of my more special Atlanta Hawks jerseys I've got, I'd say. Probably got well over 100 of these new Nike ones since I took over from Adidas. This is the first authentic one I've got. So this is the full-on authentic one, exactly like the players wear. So you were with me at the Hawks game when I bought this. They were retailing for close to $400 US, these ones. So with the exchange rate, that's a hideous amount of money. This was a lot cheaper, this one here, just given it's last year's one with a different sponsor. You can see it's a different sponsor than the ones they're wearing this year. So yeah, the one I'm wearing today is a Clint Capella red Hawks jersey. So really like this one. I'll just stand up and show you, Woods, but really good quality on this one, all stitched in and everything, which, as you know, is pretty rare for these Nike ones. But I'll just show you that one and then talk a bit about Mr. Capella.
Yeah, as Robbie just said, for those who can't see, Robbie's got the authentic Atlanta Clint Capella jersey.
Saw the one trophy on the back, right, for the 67 St. Louis Hawks win there. Yep.
And if I'm not mistaken, at that stage, you said, that's it, Woods, I'm done. I'm not buying anything more. I've spent enough money at the Hawks jersey. And on the last day of the last game, I think Mitchell, you and me were together, and then you saw that upstairs on a discounted price.
Yeah, it was in the smaller team store. And I think, like I said at the time, I should have bought a few more of these because these were last year's ones and quite a bit cheaper than the current ones. And this is just amazing quality. It's the plus two length that we used to get on those old Adidas ones. So for those that don't know how that works, the back essentially goes down longer than the front there, but feels really good, this one. Like I said, all stitched on, which, you know, I haven't had a stitched on NBA jersey for quite some time now. So yeah, liking this one, Woods. And look, just a little bit about Mr. Capella there. So born in Switzerland to an Angolan father and Congolese mother. Not sure if you knew this part, Woods. He was actually inspired to play basketball after meeting Swiss basketballer Thabo Sefolosha as a teenager.
So, awesome.
Pretty cool story. So he was heavily into soccer and then he continued to grow, met Thabo Sefolosha and really got into the game there. So still only 29 years of age, turns 30, I believe, next month. So he was a first round draft pick by the Rockets in 2014. Been with the Hawks now since 2020. So one of our more longer sort of tenured players with some of the movement we've had. He came to the Hawks after being involved in a 4-team, 12-player trade. So I won't read out those names, but I looked up that trade today. He's clearly the best player out of those 12 players there. So I think it was a pretty solid trade by the Hawks there, getting him there. And we talked a little bit about players like Capella last week, actually, on the show, didn't we? There's not a lot of these sort of guys now, real bit of a throwback sort of player there. They're not really shooting threes or doing anything outside of their skill set, but still an incredibly important player. He's continuing his career double-double average this year. So he's put up 11.5 points, 10.6 boards. And as I said, he's got a career average of a double-double, which is pretty amazing there. So I've also got to say, Woods, he's one of the few players on the Hawks team that seems to understand that defense is not just the thing that surrounds your house, right? So, yeah, it's good that he's actually one of Hawks player that can play a bit of D. But what are your thoughts on Capella?
Love Clint Capella, man. I actually got a shirt jersey of Clint Capella when I was in Atlanta as well, you'll remember. Yep. He's always been in trade rumors over the last couple of years. You know, we're thinking that the Hawks could have Okongwu take that next step up to start. But he's actually, as you said, he's been one of the longer tenured players. And I think after this season, where Okongwu's not really, you know, delivered, like we hasn't shown the growth that we expected, that someone like Clint Capella is going to be a mainstay on that roster next season as well.
But, yeah, I mean, honestly, it's been a horrible season for Okongwu. A lot of it just injury-based, but he really hasn't taken the push that we thought he would. You know, someone like Bruno Fernando has been great, so they made a side look. And they maybe sort of potentially have two of those and maybe trade on, you know, a Congo or maybe even a Capella there. But I like what he gives us, right? He's an unselfish player. As I said, he seems to be a good teammate, certainly plays good defense, can protect the rim and everything else like that. And seems to have memories of those early days with Capella playing in Houston with James Harden throwing those lobs to him, right? So we saw him do a huge alley-oop in one of those games. I forget who threw in the pass, but he threw it down there. That was impressive there. So, yeah, so liking this jersey. I wish I probably got a few more, but I think maybe I bought a few too many anyway. So.
Well, just that jersey that sits behind you there, that DeJounte Murray jersey, I got one as well. And we got one for Skittles, my little dog.
Oh, yeah, how's that? Does it fit her?
She'd fit, so we tried it on and we took some photos and she was showing it off. So, yeah, it looked really good on her. So,
I think you need to put one of those photos on the socials or something.
Woods, oh, definitely.
Get a kick out of that.
Definitely, so I'll do that, yeah.
Why don't you continue the Hawks theme? Good to see you've got your fancy headphones back on as well.
Thanks, buddy.
A bit of
thanks.
A break last week, but yeah, show us what you got today. So funny enough, we're both rocking the same number today. Yeah, which is pretty random. Woody's rocking the Vince Carter Hawks jersey. What's the chances of that, Woods? We're both rocking the same number jersey of a different player, right?
We've done that once or twice before, I think, from maybe once before we've done it before.
Interesting.
Yeah, and like, you know, for all the audience, we didn't talk about it before or, you know, have any idea what we were wearing. So that's great. So, look, I know you've worn or showcased Vince Carter's classic Raptors jersey and gone through his accolades on this show previously. So I'd just like to talk a little bit about a couple of things, and I'll throw it to you in a second. Yeah. First of all, we talked about last week Vince Carter being inducted into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, right? One, how deserving is he of that accolade? And secondly, what kind of impact did he have late in his career as a 40-something-year-old at the Atlanta Hawks as a veteran?
Yeah, well, firstly, massively deserving of making that Hall of Fame. I think it was great to see. He's one of those very rare players that played, I think, in what, the three different decades, I think, from memory, like the noughties, the, I don't even know what they're called, but
90,
in three.
Four different decades, 90s, noughties, 10s, well, and 20s.
That's even more ridiculous, isn't it? Yeah, you're right, actually. So, yeah, look, we remember him pretty fondly. He did bounce around a little bit at the end of his career, but those seasons with the Hawks that he had there, really enjoyed what he did. He sort of built up quite good friendships with a lot of guys on the team. Played that mentor role, which he was really sort of happy to do. You know, he really could have gone ring chasing those last few years and just tried to latch onto some of these super teams. He didn't. He liked the lifestyle and the home that he had in Atlanta for a couple of years there. And yeah, from all reports, he was a great teammate. He passed on a lot of his knowledge to some of the younger guys. I know he worked a lot with Trey in those first few seasons and had a good relationship with him. So yeah, I really like everything that VC does. I like listening to his podcast. You know, if ever I get bored, I just put on one of his highlight packages on YouTube and it's still ridiculous. You know, you see some of these older sort of dunkers, not much variety. He's still the best dunker I've ever seen for mine. There's some more guys that come close, but no one that can sort of beat what he's done there.
Well, it's interesting you say that about the relationships he built on that team. Isaac Humphries, who had a 10-day contract at the end of one of those Atlanta Hawks seasons, spoke about an event that Carter had at his house for the whole team after the season was over. Yeah. And Isaac got to really know him and meet him properly during that little period when he was with the Hawks. And he said, you won't meet a more down-to-earth superstar in the world. So that bodes...
It's good when you hear stuff like that about your heroes, right? I think we've said that before. When you find out one of your heroes is obviously a pretty genuine sort of person, it's even better. So, no, it's a good little story there.
Awesome, man. So let's get into it, without further ado.
I want to just talk about.
Yeah, a lot to talk about. So I'm just going to bring up the playoff picture on our screen. Just let me know if that's come up for you.
So is it true you've been, like, preparing these slides all day today, Woods? Like, you know, on top of your normal regular job, or what?
Not all day, but obviously I had to just wait for the seedings, the games to finish today and make sure that I could put this together in an accurate fashion, right? So,
yeah,
you see it in front of you there. I'm going to go through all the series one by one and get your thoughts, and I'll offer some of my thoughts as well. But let's just start off with the play-in game, all right? On the left-hand side of the screen, for those who can't see, we've got the Western Conference. So let's start with that 9-10 game. You've got the Kings, the Sacramento Kings, playing the Golden State Warriors. What are your thoughts there?
an interesting matchup, isn't it? We know there's a little bit of a rivalry there. We saw some of those games last year. That's a tough one too, because as we know with the Hawks game, this is a one-off elimination game. So your whole season comes down to being able to win that one game, right? If I've got the format right, I'm still sort of getting a bit of use to this, but I'm pretty sure that's how the 9 versus 10 works. So yeah, look, both are the same win-loss record, isn't it? I think we should say as well, Woods, coming into this last day, it was amazing how many seedings were still open there. I know three teams in the West that we're talking about now, the top three teams had the same record. I know Pelicans were literally in the top six before today started. They slipped into that seventh spot there. So really interesting. I do like the play and how it gives you a little bit more drama on the last day there. But look, in terms of a prediction for that one, I'm going to say Golden State. I think just their veteran savvy will sort of come through there. Sacramento, you'd honestly say, even though they've won 46 games, a little bit of a disappointing season, right? We probably would have expected them to maybe be around the fifth, sixth range rather than being ninth there. I think you were probably pretty high on them at the start of the season. But yeah, I'm going to say Golden State for that one. I'm looking forward to that one. I'm sure the crowd will be going nuts in that one.
Yeah, that's going to be great. The both teams from California there. Now, tell me something. Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter, they're not playing, are they?
No, yeah. They're both definitely out. So that's a big loss for them. That's their, sixth man in Monk and someone in Huerter that's had some pretty big playoff performances over the years as well. So, yeah, two pretty big outs. And I think that probably gives Golden State the edge maybe with the depth they've got as well.
Yeah, the Kings have regressed a bit from last season, right? And as you mentioned, the playoff series last year was a classic one. But I think the Warriors' experience, and they really started to turn around the back half of the season. You got to give the Warriors the edge there, right?
Sabonis versus Draymond Green will be fun to watch as well, I would have thought.
For sure. So let's move to the 7th versus 8th game there. In this scenario, obviously, there's a second chance here. The winner will take the 7th seed, and the loser will get a second crack at it against the winner of the 9 versus 10 game. So I'm going to start off here and say I think that whoever is playing may want to actually drop out to the 7th seed here and not take that 8th seed. Because if you get the 8th seed, right, you're going to face they'll want to get the 8th seed, not the 7th seed, right?
Right, yeah.
Because if they get the 7th seed, they're going to have to play the Nuggets in that first round.
So you want to play the young and up-and-coming Thunder versus the title sort of defending team, the Nuggets. Yeah, not a bad move there. I've got to say, Woods, I was hoping for a Lakers-Warriors game there. We still might get it, though. There's still a chance that they could still meet in the play-in, but yeah.
So, I mean, what are your thoughts there? Would it be too much of a risk to maybe rest some players to throw that game together?
I don't think you can do that this time of the season. No, I think you've just got to try and run with what you've got and, try and play the opponent that's out there. I mean, I heard Doc Rivers say today that, they've sort of avoided Indiana there and they've had a lot of trouble with them in the regular season. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? I'm sort of struggling to – I think that the Pelicans might win this one. Again, home court advantage there. I know the Lakers played them in that final game today, and they're going to stay in New Orleans, so they're not even going to travel away from New Orleans there. So at least I'll sort of be ready for this game. I think that's maybe the Wednesday game there. But tough one, isn't it, that one? I feel a bit more confident with Golden State in the first one. But I'll say Pelicans in this one. But, yeah, I could see that going either way for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Lakers to win and take...
Well, that was one of your big tips of the year, the start of the year, so you got to go the Lakers, right?
I'm going to go the Lakers there, and I'm going to take the Warriors to beat the Pelicans to take the number 8 seed, right?
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on in the Western Conference to the series that we know that are locked in already. So let's go into that 4 versus 5 series. That, in my opinion, is going to be one of the most exciting first-round series out of them all. It's the Clippers versus Mavericks. And I've been thinking all day, Robbie, about which way I want to go. And I've been to-ing and fro-ing as to who I think is going to take this series out. But I'd be interested to get your thoughts.
Yeah, well, look, firstly, I think we should give a big shout-out to the Thunder as well, Woods. We're getting that number one seed. Pretty remarkable there. I know, I don't think even their sort of most loyal fans would have picked that at the start of the year. So 57 wins for the Thunder. So firstly, shout-out to them. But yeah, you're right. Great 4-5 matchup. I think this one was kind of locked in. Maybe the only one that was locked in a day or two ago, this series there. The teams couldn't really change. Clippers winning the one more regular season game. We've seen these teams battle in first rounds in the past, haven't they? I know there was, I think the Dallas Rupp was either 2 or 3-0 against the Clippers recently, and the Clippers came back and won the series. It's a tough one, isn't it? I mean, we saw the Clippers, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, and, as much as that team's loaded with talent, they do play a very individual game there, and that was a little bit concerning from the eye to sort of see that there. So, I kind of like the way Dallas is playing at the moment.
Yep, me too.
I think Kyrie's probably going under the radar a little bit, playing really well. Luka's been, Luka there. That'll be interesting to see if Kawhi or Paul George can potentially slow him down. But I'm going to say that the Dallas, I mean, look, I guess it is an upset if they're the fifth seed there, but probably not a great deal given there was one win separating them. But yeah, I'm going to say Dallas win that series there.
Yep. In how many games?
I'll say it goes to seven. I think it could be a bit of an epic series, this one. I'm looking forward to it, actually. You can see some big shots and some big shot makers playing. So, yeah.
Likewise. I'm going to say the Mavericks in seven, right? Yeah. So let's move to the 3-6. And as you mentioned earlier, the Pelicans just dropped out of that top six, and the Suns have gotten out of that play-in situation to face the Timberwolves. Now, the Suns have slowly seen Bradley Beal start to play well in the last week or so. Yeah. The big three have done really well. Obviously, they're very top-heavy, and they get next to nothing out of their bench, right? Where the Timberwolves have got a little bit more of a deeper team. Guys can contribute, right? This is going to be an interesting one. I know you had your high on Minnesota from the start of the year, so give me a prediction on what do you think this series is going
to
play.
Well, similar to the Pelicans and Lakers, these teams play today as well. So a bit of a schedule quirk there that they're both going to be backing up and playing. Don't know if you saw the highlights of this on Woods. A bit of toing and froing from Bradley Beal and Anthony Edwards, but it looked to be a little bit sort of lighthearted at the end there. And Beal had a monster game in that one, like you mentioned. He's found some form there. So, look, I've got to say the Timberwolves, I think I like their depth a bit more than Phoenix there. I think they're looking a bit more healthy now with Kat back. You've got the two-headed monster and Kat and the Frenchman, Rudy Gobert, in the middle there. And this will probably be a big coming out party for Anthony Edwards, I'd say. A real chance for him as a team with the number three seed to show what he's made of and go against these guys like Durant, Bradley Beal and Devin Booker. So I'm going to say Minnesota in six in this series.
Look, I'll probably agree with you there. And I think Rudy Gobert, Mike Conley, these guys are experienced, and they've been there before in playoff runs. The depth that team has. Rudy Gobert has been fantastic this year on the defensive side.
Hey, Woods, that's one of the biggest gaps in wins as well out of all these playoff matchups, right? So seven more wins in the regular season for Minnesota. So as we mentioned, Minnesota, if things had gone their way, they could have ended up with the number one or two seed today. So they've slipped a little bit with that loss to Phoenix. But yeah, I expect that they'll come out firing in this one.
All right. So we've agreed on a few things so far, man, except the Pelicans and Lakers, I guess. Yeah. All right, let's move over to the Eastern Conference, right, and start with the play-in games. You got the Bulls versus our Atlanta Hawks, who had, 160-odd points put on us today? What did we get, 157 put on us?
Just a casual 42-point loss, I think it was. And look, when I saw that today, I thought, obviously rested all their players. No, I think this guy Capella was about the only one that rested besides their long-term injury. So that was trash, really, to be honest, wasn't it? Indiana really played well against the Hawks for whatever reason. Yeah, I'm pretty concerned about this one, Woods. I've actually got jury duty on Thursday when this is on, so I'm going to be trying to sneak a thing there, maybe in the courtroom or something like that, see how we go there. But I'd love to come in and be all confident and talk up the Hawks and talk how they've been pretty good in these playing tournaments the last few years. But I don't think I see it happening. I hope I'm talking, and the opposite will happen there. But my internet's playing anyway. I think the Bulls will win this, Woods. Unfortunately, we know it's a one game, win and you go through to play the 7-8 winner there. But yeah, I think the Hawks are done. 36 win season, pretty disappointing, right?
Yeah, definitely. If you actually look across to the Western Conference on the left hand side of the screen, you see that the number 10 seed in the Warriors won 46 games compared to 36 in the Eastern Conference. So there's a huge discrepancy there.
And you had Houston missing out, who were still 5 wins in front of the Hawks. I know what you mean. It's a big discrepancy in the win total there. So I don't know. Give me a reason why the Hawks might win it, Woods, because I'd love to hear it.
I'll give you one, man. I think the Bulls should win this. Probably by double digits, right? And if the Hawks prove us wrong, all well and good, but I can't see it.
Hopefully this is like an opposite day scenario thing, and then they win this and they go in and they knock either Philadelphia or Miami off and then play Boston and beat them. But anyway, we'll see how we go.
All right, let's move across to the 7-8 playing game. 76ers versus Heat. This is going to be a classic, right? Almost one of those scenarios where the Heat might actually want to get the number 8 seed to play the Celtics, obviously with the history there. But what do you got there?
Well, I think Philadelphia would be pretty disappointed to not make the actual the top six there. That came down to last results again. And look at that. They've got the same win total as both Indiana and the Magic. And it just came down to, head-to-head matchups and all those sort of things. So pretty disappointing, actually, that there could be, a team in 47 wins finishing fifth and then Philadelphia all the way in seventh there. So Yeah, tough one. Obviously, Philadelphia's got that home court for this one there. Miami's a tough one, isn't it? I know I've sort of, seemed to hate it a little bit on them in the past. They do seem to step up in these playoff sort of series here. Do have a little bit of a different team maybe than the team that went so far last year. But I guess if it's me, I've got to say Philadelphia beating Miami, I guess. But yeah, that's a tough one. I think that'll be a bit of a grind of a game, that one there. Could be a pretty low scoring battle, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to go 76ers in a very close one there, right? But I wouldn't be surprised if the Heat did win.
Yeah, I've got a lot more confidence in there being a, two different results in that one than I do in the Bulls Hawks series there, unfortunately.
Yep. I agree with you. I agree with you. So let's move to the two series that are locked in the Eastern Conference. Let's start with the Cavs versus the Magic. Now, the Cavs have been really up and down over the last one third of the season, playing under 500 ball. Donovan Mitchell doesn't really look the same player that he was at the beginning of the season. He's had to battle injuries and whatnot this year. I've got the Magic actually winning this in a 7-game series, man. So I'd be interested to get if you shared those opinions or,
The Cavs really, confuse me as a team. They've got some great players on paper. You've got your Darius Garlands, you've got Donovan Mitchell, you've got the big guy that I love inside in Allen there.
Fair enough.
Caris LeVert can still give you something. And then it seems to just be lacking maybe something else on that team there. Orlando's a bit of a wild card, aren't they? I mean, they've seemed to have a bit of a free run this season, finishing fifth there, finishing, what's that, 6 games over 500. I think it would almost be considered a successful season even if they lost in, say, 5 games in this series. I'm going to probably go opposite to you. I'll say Cavs will win this one. Maybe just a little bit more veteran sort of presence on this team. We know someone like Mitchell's, been there and done that a little bit in the playoffs before. So I'll say the Cavs might win this in six.
Yeah. No, look, I can't argue with that. Look, in terms of the Magic, the only guys with playoff experience there are Joe Ingles and Gary Harris, if I look at that roster, right? I
don't think
any
Yeah, they're not going to be contributing a whole lot, are they?
But I mean, you think about the Magic. Let's just talk about the Magic for a second this year. They haven't actually retooled or added many pieces from what they had last year. This growth has been from development within the organization. For them to be a team at the bottom of the Eastern Conference to come up to a number five seed, the kind of progression that they've made with that young core has to be looked upon with some admiration, correct?
I think so. Sounds breaking up a bit from your end, Woods. Hopefully it's all good and mine's coming through okay. Make sure your wife's not on Netflix.
No, no, all good.
Yeah, no, you're right. They haven't added a whole lot there. They have obviously added some veterans to the presence there, and I think it's just that maturity of some of the younger guys on that team, just with an extra season under their belt. But they're a fun team to watch, Orlando. I sort of hope they do go far. Very well coached by, former NBL player Mosley there. So it's been good to see their development there. As I said, I think it might be one of those seasons that maybe they'll be happy with where they've got, and then next season they'll be really gunning for potentially a top four spot in the East. But no, I've enjoyed sort of the way they've gone about their basketball this season.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I agree with you. All right, let's move on to the final series in that Eastern Conference, Bucks versus Pacers. This could be closer than we think, this series, correct?
Yeah, well, firstly, absolute shock that the Knicks ended up getting that second seed there again. That came down to the last day there. So that was pretty surprising, the Knicks getting that 50 win there. So only two teams in the West over 50 wins, which is a bit of a surprise there. But yeah, in terms of the Bucks Pacers, I mean, Bucks are a little bit like the Cavs to me. I'm still not quite sure what you're going to get from day to day. This could potentially be a bit of a shootout there. We know Milwaukee's defense isn't as good as it once was.
Definitely not.
I could see the Indiana guards really putting up some points against Dame Lillard in that one there. I mean, I'm going to say the Bucks here. I think it would be a pretty big upset for Indiana to knock them off, but it would be a massive disappointment for Milwaukee to lose in the first round. So I'm going to say a gentleman sweep in this one, Woods, and Milwaukee win in five.
Yeah, I was going to say Milwaukee in six, but I wouldn't be surprised if they won it in five. But you got to be wary of those upstart Pacers, though. Definitely, right? All right, and we'll see how it all plays out, and the 1 vs. 8 and the 2 vs. 7 series we should know a little bit more about when we record next week's episode.
Yeah, sounds good. Now, looking forward to all these games to start. So I think the actual playoffs themselves start Saturday, is that right? Or is it Saturday or Sunday our time? But yeah, certainly going to be a lot of good action to watch. I'm liking the game times at the moment as well with the way the clocks are sort of falling. So the games are starting pretty early. So yeah, bring on the playoffs.
For sure. Can't wait, man. Look, let's move on to an announcement that was made about a week ago now. The Boomers shortlist of 22 names has been announced for Paris. I'm just going to bring up that squad here. Maybe I'll just read it. Can you see it there, Robbie?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Boomers Olympic squad, the 22 shortlisted for 2024, are as follows. Xavier Cooks, Jock Landale, Dyson Daniels, Will Magne, Matthew Dellavedova, Will McDowell-White, Dante Exum, Jack McVeigh, Sam Frohling, Paddy Mills, Johnny Furphy, Keanu Pinder, Josh Giddey, Duop Reith, Chris Golding, Matisse Thybulle, Josh Green, DJ Vasiljevic, Joe Ingles, Jack White, Nick Kay, and your man, Rocco Zakarski. So first thing I want to ask you, if you look at this, is who are some of the guys that you might consider unfortunate to not be included in this 22?
Well, I was a little bit disappointed not to see your name on the list, Wood, so that's a bit of a shame. But obviously, you know, turning 40 now, you're probably a bit old for Gorgon to consider there. So, look, I think there's probably a few players. I mean, so you're talking about snubs, right? You want to know, yep, like at this stage? Exactly. Mitch Creek's 100% the biggest snub there. I think that goes without saying there. I think this is pretty much a common theme. Now, I can't see him making another Boomers team. There's obviously, you know, we know there's been a couple of reported sort of maybe off-court things. I'm not quite sure how that goes in selection process there. But if you're talking, you know, someone that's been a squad, he should be in there, right? He was pretty handy in that, was it the 2000 or the last Olympics or the last World Cup, I think it was, before the one where they sort of didn't look so good there. So I think he can add a bit to this international level. So that's pretty disappointing for me that he at least didn't make the squad. Look, in terms of other snubs there.
Isaac Humphries.
Isaac Humphries, definitely. Yeah, he comes to mind. Also, I think the other one that's maybe not getting enough credit or not getting enough attention for not making it would be someone like Luke Travers. Again, we're only talking about a squad here. You could have put him in someone that would have been pretty good in the, you know, the training camps and everything they've had are there with his size and ability to get to the rim and pass and that. So maybe that's a surprise he didn't make the squad. Yeah, Isaac Humphries, I think it's hard probably as a big to make it in this team. There's a lot of sort of big talent these days. But yeah, they're definitely the three. Is there anyone else we've forgotten about maybe as a snub?
I think if you look at the last Olympics, Brock Modum was part of that, training squad. Nearly
he's a similar age to you though, now, Wood. So,
yeah, yeah. He's getting on. And then Thon Maker. You know, Thon Maker was someone who was part of the squad for the World Cup and also contributed and was in the All-Star 5 for the Asia Cup, right?
Yeah.
So I think Thon Maker may be someone. But as you said, as a big, it's hard to get in.
And he might be representing Australia in karate, though, maybe. In the
right. So I think it's pretty clear who is going to be selected. I think we agree on about 10 spots. So I'm just going to go through those 10 spots and you can just confirm or deny that you're with me. So Xavier Cook's in, yes?
Yes.
Jock Landale?
Mm-hmm.
Dyson Daniels?
On the bubble, I reckon. But yeah, I'll say yes, but I think he's definitely on the bubble a little bit. Okay.
Well, I'm going to say yes. Dante Exum?
Yep, 100%.
Paddy Mills?
Yes. Maybe not as a starter, but he'll be there.
Josh Giddey?
100%.
Duop Reith?
Definitely.
Matisse Thybulle?
Yes.
Chris Golding?
Yes, I think you have to take him after his last season. Yeah.
Josh Green?
Yep.
Joe Ingles.
Not so sure on Ingles.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. All right. So I think there's a few spots there. Up for grabs. I think that there was 10 we went through. So why don't you give me a 12 then, you know?
Well, I mean, I'm going to say the ones you said, but I'm going to sort of say, obviously, I think Landale comes in for Jack White, right? I think that's pretty, I think you probably agree with that one too, right?
I agree with that one, for sure.
I like that two-headed monster with Landale and Duop Reith. I love the fact that it's two big guys that can both protect the rim and stretch the floor as well and hit that outside shot. So I think that's a great thing to have with those two. Look, I've kind of got three guys on the bubble, Woods. Well, look, obviously White, I'm saying, misses out. So the three guys on the bubble along with White are Ingles, Kay, and Dyson Daniels. So the thing I'll say about Gorgon, I think he is quite a loyal, and I think as you get older, as you know with me, Woods, after traveling with me for a few weeks, the older you get, the more stubborn you get, right? So I think Gorgon's a little bit stubborn. I think he wants to run this team back and prove that, you know, it maybe just wasn't a good World Cup, but they can still medal with this team here. So I think that maybe one of Ingles or Kay misses out. Maybe I'm putting my Homer hat on here, Woods, but I reckon Jack McVeigh is a really big chance. I think you can just offer a little bit there. I think if you compare someone like Jack McVeigh to Joe Ingles, I don't know that we need that ball handling presence in someone like Joe Ingles that we've had before, right? Given the development of Giddey and the fact you've still got Paddy there. So maybe could you bring someone like, Jack McVay in for Ingles. Someone that's just a little bit faster, similar sort of size to Ingles, I guess, and can play a similar amount of positions, but maybe just some fresher legs there. Dawson Daniels is the one that I'm not convinced on either. Do they really decide that maybe shooting was an issue last time? And could they potentially take Golding and your boy DJ Vasiljevic Woods? And maybe, because I think Dawson Daniels, I think is his position's a little bit redundant on this team when you've got guys that, you know, a similar sort of three, or not really three-point shooters, they're just these defensive athletic sort of guys there, and there's at least two or three on this team there. It's not sure if you pick Dyson Daniels whether you're actually playing him, so I wonder if there's any more value in picking someone like DJ. As much as I'm not a massive fan, I can see the value of putting someone like him on and playing in 5 minutes and giving him four or five three-point attempts in a game to break the game open there. But I know you're a big Ingles fan, so I know you'll definitely have him in. But for me, I think it'll be the big selection ones that might, you know, surprise some people, I think, would be someone like Ingles or Kay missing out. So I'm going to say Ingles misses out and McVay gets that spot over him. And also, shout-out to Rocco Zakarski. I wanted to put him in there, but not this time, mate. But you'll be in the next one and several after this, I reckon.
So you're basically saying from the 12 that were selected for the World Cup, you're going to... Let Ingles go. You're going to let Ingles and Jack White go, and you're going to bring in
Landale and McVay.
Landale and McVay. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to leave out Nick Kay, right? Because I think that they didn't have Landale last time, and he was, you know, filling in that four and five spot a little bit, right? So I'm going to have Landale starting at the five and then back up as Duop Reith. And as you said offline to me the other day, in some matchup against bigger side, you might even be able to play those two together, right? So I'm going to have Jack White out, Landale in, right? Yep. Nick Kay out, and the experience of Matthew Dellavedova coming in. So I'm keeping in Dyson Daniels.
Yeah,
I'm keeping him, and he's shown his defensive prowess recently. I know you said there's a lot of other guys at the wing that can sort of do that, but he's come a long way, and they invested time in him in the World Cup, right, in the previous Bloomer selection. I think he's someone who should play some more minutes.
Delhi one's a bold prediction, isn't it? Obviously, before that World Cup, he was in the NBA that time and maybe not getting that much minutes, but we've seen him this year, and you're right. He's shown another maybe gear that we didn't know he had offensively. I love the heart that he plays with. He's that sort of player you want to have in an Australian, you know, green and gold jersey representing us in something like the Olympics, because we know how much he just gives a damn about his country and everything. So that's not a bad prediction, that one. It's tough, isn't it? For Nick Kay and Joe Ingles, they've got to make the call eventually, right? It's going to happen, right? So Ingles will drop out of the team. Kay will drop out. Eventually, Patty Mills will as well. It's going to start to happen where these older guys are sort of, you know, past their use-by date. So it's interesting we've both got one of those veterans missing out there.
Yeah, the only problem with my selection is they might be a little bit light in the front court. Obviously, they've got Landale and they've got Reith and Xavier Cooks, right? That kind of leaves them a bit, you know, who else is there, right? If you're not picking Nick Kay, so there's a food for thought. There you've got Jack McVay. You can also play the four. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, man.
Yeah, no, for sure. Really looking forward to it. Look, I love the squad, I've got to say, Woods. No real issues. I mean, look, you can always find a few people to be snubs. You know, as I said, probably Mitch Creek, Luke Travis, Isaac Humphries there. But who do you take out if you don't put those three there? So I love the squad there. I really am excited about it and looking forward to the announcement once the squad starts getting culled down as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's going to get culled down to 17 in a few weeks. So we'll get a clearer picture shortly. Really like this team, they've got a point to prove after what happened at the World Cup, don't they?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right. Yeah. So today, first day of NBL free agency, a lot happened. I know we were both tuning into the free agency live show on nbl.com.au, and some teams have been busy. So I'm gonna throw out some moves to you, and I want to sort of get your thoughts there, right? So let's start off with my Sydney Kings, have been really active on day one. Shoring up their defense with Bull Cole and Isaiah Liafa. I mean, we knew those signings were going to happen, but now they've actually been locked in. What kind of impact are those two going to have on my Kings?
Well, I like Isaiah Maori Huhu Liafa, so he's always a good one to come into the team. I like saying his full name as well. I like both those signings. Obviously, we knew that those two were going to end up there. That was pretty sort of common knowledge, wasn't it? But they've certainly made a lot of moves there. It's interesting, with the free agent moves on day one, it felt like there was maybe four or five teams that were quite busy, and then a couple of other teams you didn't hear anything from there. So, yeah, I quite like what the Kings have done. They've, you know, chopped off a little bit of their sort of bench guys, right? They've bounced around a little bit there, but I quite like it there. I mean, you've got to be happy with those two
definitely
name signings today, right?
Definitely, and they fit under the Gorgian, Bran, right? Those guys are perfect for prototypes to play under.
Well,
Bran,
you might
Gorgian.
Get guys that are, I mean, I'm not sure his ball qual. Is he like qualifying for South Sudan or
he already has.
So already South has. Sudan already, okay. Yeah, yep. Interesting. So, yeah, so it's not like sort of players trying to go there to get under the, you know, the eye of Brian Gorgian. But, no, look, I mean, I think he wants that second chance. And he was maybe getting a little bit stale, wasn't he, playing in Cairns for so long there. You know, sometimes you need a new voice and someone else to, you know, sort of, you know, to play alongside. He's got some great teammates that he's going to have on that team. Interesting, they made a very early call with DJ Hogue. So what a failure that thing was, getting DJ Hogue over there, right? But in terms of day one of free agency, getting those two guys, like Lee Arthur's really handy, I reckon. If he's your, what, seventh or eighth guy on your team, that's a pretty handy guy to have there.
Yeah, less need for Bruce to play, right, Robbie?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
All right. So a couple of youngsters that we've signed out of college, well, the Kings have signed out of college, Tyler Robertson from the University of Portland and Kelly Luapepe from Loyola Marymount. Now, mm-hmm. I've done a bit of research on Tyler Robertson before jumping on today and seen some highlights. This guy's a 2-3 man who plays at the wing. He can shoot the ball great. He's a great
They're rebounder. Both shooters, aren't they? This
yeah, great rebounder for his size at 6'6". I think Tyler Robertson's a guy that is ready to contribute right away. Mm-hmm. Kelly Liopepe, Loyola Marymount, great program there. Probably has the best hair in probably going to have one of the best haircuts in the NBL. Mookie, a good friend of the show, was telling me that he's going to be a crowd favorite. What do you know about Kelly?
I don't know a whole lot, actually, to be honest. I just did a little bit of research on him today after hearing the name. But I think both of those names are pretty exciting and pretty big coup for the Kings to get two guys that have had successful college careers that are, you know, now just willing to come out here and give it their all there. So, yeah, I think they've done well. Do you know what Alex Tui's situation is? Is he declared for the draft as yet, or what's going on there?
I'm not sure, man.
I haven't heard any announcements. So maybe at this stage he will be coming back. Interesting. So they'd love to have him back for another year. You want to play with Gorgian, right? Sure.
I think he could do for it with another year of developing, right? Because I think he's slated to be, what, late second-round pick at best,
possibly.
Right?
But a weak draft, though, this year. You never know.
Yeah. Okay, let's see how that plays out. But, yes, he would be great under the tutelage of Brian Gorgian. I agree with you, right? Yeah. All right, let's move to Cairns, who've actually picked up an ex-Sydney Kings player in Jackson McCoy. He was a development player last year who was injured. He showed glimpses in the year before in our championship run and was expected to be, elevated to a full roster spot in Sydney this year, but due to mutual needs, they decided to part ways, and Jackson McCoy tested the free agency market and signed with Cairns. Cairns have a habit of grabbing these guys, right? You know, and making taking their careers on, you know, a guy like Lat May, and you know, you've seen in the past, a Majok Deng who had a little bit.
You're talking about the Cairns South Sudan Taipans.
You said it, right?
Oh, they've got a great track record with these South Sudanese guys. And
Bukol,
yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, you sort of wonder with Cairns whether they're going to be able to get any of these big name free agents. They're always up against it with some of the bigger teams there. They don't have the budget that the Kings have, but the Kings have got an NBA budget there. I thought I'd have to get that one in Woods, you know, one shot per episode.
For sure.
But, yeah, I wonder where they're going to be able to spend the rest of their money there. They got someone else, didn't they, as well?
Yeah, Cairo. Yeah, so yes. The real McCoy. Yeah. And the big men were basically, like, traded. I mean, Lat May has gone to Adelaide now, right?
Yeah.
And then Kyron Galloway's come to Cairns. So,
I thought Galloway was looking pretty good at that end of the season for the 36ers there. So, yeah, I think that's a pretty good move there. I think they'll probably, you know, Ford will get the best out of him there. And he could even have a chance to start on that team.
I think so. Definitely. And with Sam Meninga leaving for New Zealand, right, I think Kyron Galloway automatically has a role to play in that rotation, whether that be starting or it really depends on what imports they gather and on their roster.
And they normally hit home runs with those imports. They, you know, maybe Josh Roberts wasn't the best sort of one this year, but they normally have a pretty good success rate with those imports.
I agree. So, yeah, going back to Jackson McCoy, we haven't seen a lot of him. Hopefully that we can see his game develop under 40 over there in Cairns. Okay, Lat May into Adelaide. I mean, he's an Adelaide boy from memory. He's originally from there, if I'm not mistaken. Right. He showed throughout last couple of seasons that he has the ability to stretch the floor.
Yep.
He's the perfect prototype for a guy that can play the four spot and offer spacing. So I think he'll be good for Adelaide. Yeah,
it's not a bad signing. I feel like Adelaide is sort of making a few little moves there, aren't they? Trying to sort of reconstruct this roster and everything like that with Coach Ninnis there. So, yeah, not a bad. I think he's someone, Lat May, that most teams wouldn't have minded hearing that their team, you know, most fans wouldn't have minded seeing their team sign him as a free agent. So, yeah, good move for them.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Okay, let's move on to Tasmania. They've picked up Gorgia Gak. Now, Marcus Lee and Tasmania, by all reports, parting ways.
Yeah.
Gorjak Gak straight away comes in from a situation in Southeast Melbourne, which was pretty dire, to now come under Scott Roth. And I think that his game could really elevate to the next level here in a bit of a backup role here.
I like that three-headed monster for Tassie already. You've got Will Magne, Fabian Krstović, and then Gak. You know, I like both those Gak brothers there. So I think if he's a third string on that team, you could do a lot worse than that. So that was a pretty move, I thought. Yeah.
That's one of my favorite signings of the because you just know that under Scott Rowett, a guy like Gorjak Gak has the ability to take his game to the next level, right?
100%,
All right, what else do we have? This one I really like. Dang Adele. This guy's an NBA quality player. The Brisbane Bullets have decided to give him an opportunity to come back and resurrect his career in Australia, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, under Brian Gorgian in Illawarra, things didn't go to plan. But since then, he's played overseas in various different countries, most recently in France. He had a great college career. You know, has all the tools to be that, you know, that long defender that can also stretch the floor. I think Brisbane will be a good fit for Dang Adel. Yeah.
I think he's still someone that really wants to, you know, impress the Australian audience and everything and show what this guy's made of there, because we know he's got the NBA experience. He's still probably someone that not a lot of people know much about. And like you said, that season under Gorgian wasn't amazing. It was probably a bit of a disappointment, to be honest, that year. So, yeah, not a bad move by Brisbane there. They look like they're going to be pretty big players in free agency, I think, as well.
Right, right. I agree with you. Now, the one team that's made the biggest splash on the opening day of free agency is the New Zealand Breakers. Check this out. Jonah Bolden, Mitch McCarron, and Mahave King, right? Okay. And a lot of the guys have left New Zealand. You know, by reports have just come out that the only import coming back is Parker Jackson Cartwright. So
he's already signed too, isn't he? Yeah.
He's already signed. I mean, Jeremy Lamb isn't coming back, and Zylan Cheatham is not coming back.
Yeah.
So getting those quality locals in Bolden, McCarron, and Mahave King, what do you see there? What do you see?
I like the signings. I'm just wondering, Woods, and you can sort of probably answer this. Do you see either any of those three starting? Because I'm knowing whether all three of those guys are more suited to bench roles. Maybe Bolden, you can make an argument, depending if Mango comes back there. But look, I think someone like Mo King, I think he's still pretty young and wants to prove a little bit as well to, you know, to the NBL, what he can actually do there. But look, if those three guys are coming on as bench players and they can shore up that starting five, that's a pretty deep team, I reckon, man.
Yeah, I think Bolden's a starter, you know, on that Kings team last year, you know.
Does Bolden care enough, Woods?
I don't know.
I don't know if I saw it personally with the Kings. Did he actually care? We saw
glimpses, right? And obviously, under Coach Mood in Sydney, things weren't. It wasn't a happy locker room, right? And it wasn't the greatest environment for him to be in. Someone like Modi Mayor demands excellence from his players, whether it's the star of the team or the guy on the end of the bench. If they make mistakes, he'll hold them accountable, right? And I think a guy like Modi Mayor will be a good coach for Jonah Bolden, right, personally? And Mitch McCarron, you know, he's obviously on the decline now. He's not the player that he was previously in his stints at Cairns and in Melbourne United. He's not a starter anymore in this league.
No.
But he can fill a void there where Cam Glidden's obviously not going to be re-signed.
I was going to say, it's almost a replacement for someone like Glidden.
So he comes in and fills that void. Someone like Mahave King, he has had opportunities at Cairns and Adelaide. By all reports, he wasn't the easiest guy to coach. You know, he wasn't always playable, and things didn't go to plan there, right? But since then, he's matured, spent some time with the G League United, been drafted into the NBA. Not only has he got a point to prove to the Australian audience, but he's got a point to prove if he wants to have a shot at the NBA in the future. So I think
what team holds his rights again? Woods, I always forget
the Lakers.
So the Lakers.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So obviously he'll want to sort of, you know, show out this year and maybe get over to the big league there. So yeah, pretty decent signings. I said, especially if they are going to be backup guys there, I think they've done pretty well there. You're probably right. Someone like Bolden, they're probably signing, expecting him to be the starter there. But yeah, interesting. A lot more moves to come. I think they've got a bit of a roster to sort of still fill up in NZ there.
Yeah, definitely. Really excited to see how the next few days plays out. There's a lot of moves to be made. One thing I want to talk about, and we actually got a viewer's question today, and I wanted to talk about this anyway, but I'd like to just read this out. Our question for the day comes from Tushar Nathan in Wheelers Hill in Melbourne, right? And his question is, who does Melbourne United need to recruit to stay in contention for next season? Now, we've spoken about this before. Well, first of all, thanks Tushar for sending in the question. We appreciate it. First of all, we talked about JLA and Ariel Hakpori leaving, right? Okay, so they need to recruit a big man here, right? Yeah. Tell me what other holes are there in the Melbourne United
team. I think there's one answer to this question, Woods, and that's Jack White. I think they need to try and do all they can to get someone like Jack White back there. We saw him bouncing around the league a little bit. I'm not sure, you know, whether he wants to sort of get that stability and maybe come out here. I think that should probably be their first guy they're trying to get to replace those two big units in Melbourne there. And I think they just need to probably work out their import spots this year. I think there's talk that they'd like to bring Ian Clark back to the team.
Yeah.
If they lose Travis as well, if they potentially lose Travis, Huck Porty and JLA, that's three massive losses. I mean, that's three of your top six players there. So, yeah, look, I'd say Jack White would be the first player I'll be looking to get there. And maybe if they can get some sort of other local big. I know someone...
Well, Olgan was saying today on the marketplace there's some interest there for Marcus Lee to come back to Melbourne.
Okay, yeah, interesting. He seems to be a popular. What about someone like Alex Dukas there, Woods? We know he's not going to get drafted into the NBA. They obviously got his teammate there last year. I know he's a Perth boy, and I'd love to see the Wildcats get him. For some reason, these local WA guys don't seem to go back to Perth. We've been saying that for a number of years now. So someone like him, I think he'd be a pretty sneaky good signing if they got someone like Alex Dukas in there. He's another one that could have possibly been a snub for that World Cup squad, by the way. The Olympic squad, Alex Dukas, yeah.
Yeah, I expected Dukas to go to Perth if anywhere,
hope so.
Right?
Definitely hope so, yeah, but you never know there.
Okay, well, let's unpack that. So we know they need to get probably a couple of big men, a starting big man and a backup big man. You know, you'll probably get Jack White, and Marcus Lee's more than happy to play a role as a big off the bench. He did that this year. Well, he started, but, you know, he played bench minutes. Sometimes Magne started. So maybe someone like a Marcus Lee, you could get a Jack White. They still probably need a little bit more height there, though. They probably
need to get some. What about your boy from the Kings? The big guy from the Kings.
Jordan Hunter.
Yeah, Jordan Hunter could be someone on their radar, potentially. Yep. I know there's been talk of Southeast being interested in him, but that could be someone that maybe they look into it as well.
You get a Jordan Hunter, a Jack White, and a Marcus Lee type, right?
Yeah.
Probably can cover Huck Porty and JLA. I mean, you're not going to get the scoring output. You're going to take a step back in that position for sure. Yeah. It's hard to replace those two guys. I mean, how good is that to have, you know, two pretty much NBA quality bigs as your starting and backup center on an NBL team, right?
Yeah.
So let's unpack Luke Travis. I mean, Pete Hooley said it today as well. He does not see a scenario where Luke Travis comes back, right? So do they need to go out and get a wing import, like a Rajon Tucker type who was there a couple of years ago, maybe? Along with an Ian Clark and go with the two imports this year, right, as opposed to the one?
They should definitely look at getting a scoring sort of wing, I reckon, like that. You know, obviously someone like Travis is a good distributor and a bit like that. Maybe doesn't always put up consistent amounts of points there. So if they can get someone that's kind of a walking bucket there and get some, you know, interior defensive presence there, I think that could work. I mean, I think you're always going to be in a good place if you bring in Golding and Dele back. I mean, that's, you know, an amazing sort of Australian local backcourt.
And Shea Ely, obviously local as well.
And Shea Ely as well, the three of those. I mean, so you're pretty much set at guard, right, when you sort of see those names there, and if they do bring Clark back as well. So, yeah, I think it's all about the wings and the big guys for Melbourne. We've seen them recruit pretty well in the past, so I'd certainly have faith that they'd be able to get some names there. But, yeah, I'll still say Jack White. I think if they get him back on the team, I think he's going to come back a better player than what he left now. He's certainly added more to his offensive game. So, yeah, that's where I'll be sort of going first and then sort of seeing how the chips fall after that.
Look, if I was Jack White, I'd give it one more year, right? Mm-hmm. Just one more year and try and cut, make it into the NBA, right? He got that contract with Memphis at the end. He's been playing really well in the G League over the last few years. I think he's just on the cusp of being an NBA, a rotation guy in the NBA. But let's see how that plays out, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a really, really fun episode today. We dealt with a lot of topics that are, you know, very, you know, relevant in the basketball world today. And it's an exciting time that is about to follow. I think the next few weeks are going to be busy with a lot of stuff to discuss, Robbie. So thanks for...
Like you said, it was topical today, wasn't it? You know, we're recording on Tuesday, Monday, the 15th of April, and all these things happen with the playoff seedings and the NBL free agency. So, yeah, a lot more to come and looking forward to these next few weeks.
Yeah, thanks for all your thoughts and opinions as always. Why don't you take the audience out with where we can be found and all of that?
Absolutely. So, yeah, please make sure you continue to like, rate, and subscribe on YouTube or wherever you listen to your audio podcasts. We can also be followed on X @ throwbackshoops, Instagram @throwback.hoops, and Email address is throwbackhoopspodcast@gmail.com. Hopefully Woody will be posting a picture of Skittles wearing a DeJounte Murray jersey with his little pop there. So that'll be good if we see that. Just our Patreon as well. We're really appreciative of anyone that sort of can pledge a little bit of support with us there to help with the product production, editing, all the expenses that come with doing this podcast. But yeah, just wanted to thank everyone for their support as always.
Yes, and thank you, Robbie. Appreciate that. We had a packed show today, so we couldn't fit in classic packs, but we will hopefully be able to do that over the next few weeks, right? So for all our big fans of classic packs, we'll bring that back. Thanks again to Sean Nathan for sending in that question. We really appreciate it. Please keep your questions coming and any jersey requests. There's a lot of topics that we want to discuss, so we'll get to your questions when we can. So yeah, thanks everyone. And until we do this again next week from Robbie and I and the whole team at Throwback Hoops, it's peace out.